And Olivia Colman has been given her CBE at Buckingham Palace, but she missed the chance to meet the Queen. The actress plays a monarch in the Netflix drama The Crown, but today it was Princess Anne dishing out the investitures. The 45-year-old received the honour for her services to drama. That's the latest. I'm Annie Green.
This is Halton Community Radio.
And good afternoon, everyone. This is the One Halton Health Show on Halton Community Radio. We're live on 92.3 FM and online at hr923fm.com. Welcome back to our regular listeners. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time, One Halton is a new way of working that will involve joining up all the services that deliver care and well-being to the people of Halton, ensuring they have the right support at the right time in the right way to provide the best possible outcomes. In a time of increasing demands in all services, we're joining resources and working better together to improve the care and well-being of the people of Halton. My name is Mark O'Farrell. Currently, I work as an operational manager for Northwest Boroughs NHS Foundation Trust, Healthcare NHS Foundation Trust. The One Halton Health Show is a joint venture between Northwest Boroughs Healthcare and three other local health providers: Bridgewater Community Healthcare NHS Foundation Trust, Well Halton, and Warrington and Halton Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust. We'll be hearing today from representatives of each of the four organisations during the show. I'm joined in the studio by our show producer, Matt Roberts. How are you today, Matt?
I'm very well, thank you, Mark. How are you, sir?
I'm not so bad. Looking forward to an exciting show today.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely fantastic. We've got loads of awesome guests, as well as some slightly spooky music, with it being Halloween. Oh, important to play up to these clichés, I think. So let me talk you through the guests today, Mark. Our first guest is Claire Coppin. She is from the heart failure team, she's a heart failure nurse team, I should say, from Bridgewater Community Healthcare NHS Foundation Trust. In the second half hour of the show, we'll be chatting on the phone with Chris Carling from Well Halton. He's at a special event this afternoon at the Shopping City, just down the road from us, called The Science of the Circus. So we'll be excited to chat with Chris and find out what's going on there. In hour two of the show, we've got Faye and Katie, Faye Andrews and Katie Madden. They are from your alumni, Northwest Boroughs Healthcare NHS Foundation Trust, and they are from the Adult Inpatient Mental Health Services team for Halton. And lastly, we'll be joined by Fiona Wheelton and Gareth Stables. They represent Warrington and Halton Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust, and they are from the Cheshire and Merseyside Treatment Centre and Orthopaedics. So loads of good stuff on today's show.
Sounds fantastic. Some really good guests in store.
Yes.
How can our listeners get in touch with the show?
Well, we'd love to hear from people, whether they've got questions for me and you or for any of our guests. Studio at hcr923fm.com is the email address. That's studio at hcr923fm.com. If you're a fan of landline telephones, and who's not a fan of reliable old-fashioned landline telephones, you can call us. We're on 01928 835 291. That's 835 291. Though, as we do say on each One Halton Health Show, please do call during the records, for Mark and I are reasonably competent when it comes to multitasking, but chatting with guests and answering the phones is beyond our prowess. If you're a fan of text messaging, you can send a text through to us here in the studio. The text goes to 60066. That's 60066. You must start your message with HCR, otherwise we won't see it, and you will be charged at your standard network rate, which means that if texts are free for you, this text will be free, but if you pay for texts, you will be charged at the normal standard network rate. And finally, we're on Twitter as well, and I'm monitoring two Twitter accounts this afternoon. My employer, which is at HSHVCA, at HSHVCA, that's the Twitter handle. That stands for Halton St Helens Voluntary and Community Action, in case anyone's wondering. But we can also access the official Twitter of Halton Community Radio, which is at HCR923FM, at HCR923FM. Please do tweet us, we'd love to hear from you. And we've already had a tweet from Jane, who is from Healthwatch St Helens. Are you familiar with Healthwatch, Mark?
I am, yes.
Yeah, so this is from our St Helens brethren, over the river. Well, it literally is over the river from Runcorn, actually, so I'll justify that comment. And she has said, can she have a record today? Can she have Queen? And the track is My Best Friend. Now, do you know the link between this and spooky, horror, Halloween-y kind of going on?
No, I didn't know there was one.
Well, yes, you'll be pleased to know. This is on the Shaun of the Dead soundtrack. So I'm now, dear listeners, going to attempt to play a CD. And those of you familiar with our show know that the CD players here are indeed my nemesis. But let us all take a deep breath together and hope. There we go. From the Shaun of the Dead soundtrack, that is Queen and My Best Friend. We shall play that for Matt Ultram, who has tweeted us. Hello, Matt. Hope you're all right. It was nice to hear from a fellow Matt. He says, DJ O'Farrell hosting this afternoon, exclamation. Make sure you tune in. And then he's helpfully tagged at Northwest Boroughs NHS to make sure that all of your colleagues are aware that you're here, Mark, and doing sterling work.
I've just had a message in from Matt saying you're my best friend, so very poignant to the track just played.
Is that
so.
Really? How lovely. That's very kind, Matt. If anyone wants to email in and say that I'm their best friend, that would be gratefully received. You can tweet us at HSHVCA or, as I mentioned earlier on, the official Twitter account of us here at Halton Community Radio is at HCR923FM. Now then, today, the next part of the show is all about Bridgewater Community Healthcare NHS Foundation Trust. Mark, you've got some info to tell us about the organisation.
Yes, of course. So before we welcome Claire to the show, I'll just give a bit of a background about Bridgewater. So Bridgewater Community Healthcare NHS Foundation Trust is a provider of community health services in the northwest of England. They provide high-quality community and specialist services to people living in Halton, St Helens, Oldham, Warrington, and also provide some specialist community dental services and prison healthcare services across parts of the northwest. The majority of the services are delivered in patients' homes or at locations close to where they live, such as clinics, healthcares, GP practices, community centres and schools. As a provider of both mainstream and specialist care, their role is to focus on providing cost-effective NHS care by keeping people out of hospital and supporting vulnerable people throughout their lives. As a dedicated provider of community services, their strategy is to bring more care closer to home. This means providing a wider range of services in the community settings to keep people healthier for longer and developing more specialist services to support people to live independently at home.
Fantastic stuff. Beautifully read.
Thank you very much. So, welcome, Claire. Thank you for joining us here today.
Hi, thank you.
So, you are the team leader of the Heart Failure Nurse Service within Halton for Bridgewater Community Healthcare NHS Foundation Trust, is that right?
It is, yeah.
Fantastic. And how long have you worked for Bridgewater?
I've worked for Bridgewater since 2006, so it's 13 years altogether.
Wow. Has it flown by?
Yeah, it has, actually, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that always a good indication that it's a fabulous place to work?
Yeah, it is, I think, yeah. Yeah, it's gone quite quickly.
Yeah, groovy.
Good. And you're the team leader of the...
I am the team leader, yeah. I've been team leader for about 7 years now. We're a team of four nurses altogether and two admin staff. I mustn't forget about our admin staff.
Yeah, of course.
They do
not.
A brilliant job. Four nurses that have got a wealth of knowledge in nursing patients with cardiac conditions.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Let's have some shout-outs. So who are your four people in your team?
Obviously,
I'm testing your memory here,
know,
obviously,
yeah,
to see if you can
remember. Yeah. As you say, we're only a small team, so we've worked together for years. There's Karen Sean-Binns, who's another heart failure nurse.
Okay.
There's Angela Langton, who's another heart failure nurse. Elisha Seddon, who's another heart failure nurse. And then there's Vicky Morgan, and who's our admin support, and Sandra Griffiths.
Excellent.
And do you think any of them are going to be listening to you today?
They might be. We'll see.
Fantastic. So important to remember their names anyway.
Yeah. Have you tipped them off or have you hidden it from comrades?
I've kind of hidden it.
Fairly fair enough. Are they fabulous and extraordinary people?
Yeah, they definitely are. Yeah. It can be quite a stressful job.
Yeah.
Heart failure is quite frightening.
Yes.
For a lot of patients. So we've got to have some good communication skills to ensure that we're trying to make our patients feel supported and that we're there to try and improve their quality of life.
I think so much of healthcare now is about relationships, isn't it?
And how we support
the people we look after.
Yeah, because as you say, we're going into people's homes. We get to know our patients really well. We get to know their families. So, yeah, we have got to be, really be there for them.
Oh, fantastic. So could you tell me a bit about the work that you guys do then on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, on a day-to-day basis, we deliver clinics within GP practices. That's someone that's got heart failure, but could be quite well with heart failure.
Right.
So
is it kind of they're on the road to recovery? Is it after a crisis, or are you part of a hospital?
No. People can be referred to us when their first diagnosis of heart failure, they may have been
right.
into hospital.
Okay.
Unfortunately, they've had a heart attack, so
yes.
it's damaged part of their heart muscle. So they get referred out to us. And people can be quite well, or they can be quite poorly.
Yeah.
There is different degrees of like heart failure symptoms. So it's just making sure that we, our main part is to educate patients and the families on the diagnosis, so they don't feel as frightened with the condition. And obviously making sure that the treatment, because we're specialists in that area, we've got to make sure that the treatment is evidence-based and they're getting the best available treatment that can be offered.
Right. As I'm one of my key roles here, I think, is to be the village idiot. And what I always do, Claire, is I always kind of self-diagnose myself with whichever problem is being explained to me. And I could feel my heart fluttering there when you were talking. I was thinking, oh no, do I have a healthy heart? Is the advice that you give to people about staying healthy and keeping the...
Oh yeah, that's a huge part of our role, because, the more fit you are and well you are, then your condition is going to be better controlled. So that is a huge part that we are educating patients, about keeping well, eating well.
Right.
That's
my Achilles heel.
Yeah. Well, it's everything, like I say, in moderation, isn't it?
Yeah.
We don't want to dictate to patients and set telling them what they should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing. It's getting that happy medium of information across, isn't it? And so they feel supported. And just making sure, like, because we're nurse prescribers, so they don't have to go and see the GP. We can do the treatment. We can up titrate. I don't mean that's increase the medications, because
okay.
a big part of the role is to make sure the medications are optimised.
Yeah.
And they're well on the medications.
Yeah.
And they're being monitored as well.
So that's really good. So you, again, it's feeding into not keeping people in their own homes, not coming into hospitals or even GP surgeries then for the treatment.
Yeah, well, majority of our clinics, when people do come in to see us, are in GP practices.
Right.
So they don't have to be travelling to the hospitals. And we've been delivering them clinics since the year 2000. So we have a really good relationship with our GPs. They know who we are because they see us on a day-to-day, well, not a day-to-day, but week-to-week
basis. Yeah,
on a regular basis, yeah. So we work closely with them and work closely with our colleagues in the hospital.
Right.
So how many GP surgeries would you work into then within Halton?
We cover all the GP practices. A particular nurse could have a couple of GP practices that they cover, and then they can go. And all depending on the size of the GP practice.
Yes.
We could deliver a weekly clinic, or it may be a monthly clinic.
I think there's 8 in Widnes and 6 in Runcorn.
Is there?
I could be completely wrong.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Does it sound about
right? I thought there was a little bit more. I thought there was 16, but it might have reduced.
There might well be,
I have been doing the job for 13 years.
Yeah,
so
let us all, without any question, Claire, in the top trumps of local knowledge of healthcare provision, I'm a 4 out of 100 and you're a 95, so you're winning that battle.
So do you guys always, are you based in the same place then? Obviously you work within GP surgeries and in people's homes, so where are you guys based?
We're based in Millbrow Clinic over in Widnes, but that is just our office. We do have a clinic room there,
right.
So if our GP clinics are full, we can see patients at Millbrow.
Okay.
So as I say, we come together as a team there because we need to support each other.
Yes.
In our role.
Yeah.
Not being
too flippant.
It's okay.
I don't know Millbrow. I've been to... We at Halton Community Radio had a Christmas party at the Millbrow, which is like a pub. And there was Millbrow Primary School. Was it...
I don't know. I don't know about Millbrook Primary School. It's off Peel House Lane.
Yeah.
So it's not far from the market around
yep.
there.
Fabulous.
And that's where our base is, and that's where if people have concerns or they need to refer into our service, that's where they refer. They come into there.
Yeah.
But then we go out and about then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Into people's homes or into clinics.
So you mentioned that about supporting each other, and that sounds really important.
Yeah.
And it must be very stressful because you're helping people who are poorly, but at the same time, is it really rewarding as well because you help people through such a kind of difficult time in their life?
Oh, massively, of course. I think that's the main part why we do the job, is it, because it is rewarding.
Yeah.
And even though people are really quite poorly, people can recover and still go on to have a really good quality of life.
Yep.
So when you know you're making that difference, it is really rewarding.
Fabulous. Right, I'm going to bang a record on. Now, you've chosen this one for us, Claire. This is The Killers and Mr. Brightside. What's brilliant about this track?
Well, it's for my husband.
Okay, what's your husband's name?
It's Glenn.
Glenn?
Yes.
Excellent. And does Glenn have any... would he ever express any particular reasons why he loved The Killers, or is he just a big fan?
Great. He's just a big fan.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, you enjoy this now, especially for Glenn. Happy Halloween, Glenn. This is The Killers, which is slightly Halloween-based, if you think of it in an ominous sense. And Mr. Brightside. Special dedication for our Glenn is The Killers and Mr. Bright. So I've had some communications coming to the studio as well during that record. James Wooding of this parish here at HCR tweets us at HSHVCA to say, "I'm tuned in, folks," 2 exclamations. "Great start. Keep it up," 2 more exclamations. "Smiley face emoji, radio emoji, thumbs up emoji, music notes emoji." So, James, thank you so much for getting in touch. Excellent use of emojis. If you would like to tweet us, at HSHVCA is the Twitter handle, or at HCR923FM. And Mark, I think Matt's been on as well, has he?
He has, yes. He's after his earlier tweet and message,
yes.
He's just corrected my point that I'm not his best friend. He loves Queen and not me, so thank you very much for the ongoing support, Matt. Much appreciated.
That's crushing.
I know.
Not very showbiz.
I picked myself up.
Well done, Mark. You dust yourself off and we'll carry on the show here. Claire's here today. Claire is from the Heart Failure Nurse... how would you describe it? The Heart Failure Nurse team? You're the team leader for the Heart Failure Nurses?
Yeah, we just say Halton Heart Failure Team.
Brilliant, Halton Heart Failure Team. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm surprised there's not an acronym for that. There's an acronym for most things nowadays.
No, so. HHFT.
Yeah.
sounds epic. So thank you so much for joining us. Is this your first time in a Cub Hut / radio station, Claire?
It is. Can you tell?
No, you've been amazing. what do you think of the black eggshell decor in here? Is it classy?
Oh, no, it's very good.
A bit ominous?
Yeah, no, it's all right.
If you want your spare room, do you know? I know some people who can make the magic happen for you. Right, back to our Mark.
So you were saying there before that great song about one of the key aspects of your job is about health promotion, and something obviously it's in the media quite a lot about how we promote a healthy lifestyle to our society at large, really. And I was just wondering, as part of the health promotion that you guys do, is that just to your patients or is it to the wider population as well?
Well, it's to the wider population, but yeah, definitely to our patients, because the more generally well they are, then their heart failure condition is going to be better controlled.
Mm.
And the patient's got to take a really active role in that.
Yeah.
So to ensure... Because it's not just about medications.
No.
You know, and about treatments. It is about people looking after themselves.
Yeah.
And the more
yes.
they do and they feel well, they feel like they've got... can take control of their condition, not the other way around.
Yeah.
That their condition is controlling them.
Definitely.
And do you find the more people are invested in their own care and treatment, that the outcomes are better for those people.
Definitely, yeah. They understand why we're changing medications. Mm. They're more likely going to take the medications, because obviously not everybody likes taking tablets. But yeah, and a huge part of our role as well, we do refer people to the rehabilitation service that's provided by our colleagues at the hospital.
Right.
And that's like a 10-week programme,
yeah.
And that helps to educate patients and just bring them back to a good level of fitness and what exercise they should be doing and not doing.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. If you forgive me for... it sounds... it's a brag. I was trying to find another word there, Claire, but I used to be quite big. I lost 3 stones over the past 18 months.
And you did brilliant.
Well, that's very kind of you. And we did a brilliant thing on the radio where we did health checks. You know where you go and they take your bloods and they take your blood pressure and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the brilliant nurse I talked to, she thought I might have added as much as 10 years onto my life by having taken that kind of weight off my heart and all that kind of stuff.
Definitely.
For me, the best exercise was walking. Because
yeah,
I hate running and stuff like that.
Yeah, and that's what it is. A lot of people are frightened to go to the rehab classes because that's what they think it's all about.
Yeah.
Think it's just running on treadmills and bikes, but it isn't.
No.
It's very tailored to the person a lot. They're very well supported. Just going out and just having gentle walks.
Yep.
Yeah, and gradually just building that up is,
I could write you a pamphlet. Because what I really like about going outdoors, I think outdoors is brilliant for your mental health as well.
Yeah.
Just for your general sense of well-being. You know, fresh air and looking at stuff outdoors. I think it's all top quality. There you go.
Yeah,
that's as good as the health advice comes from this side of the from the radio desk. But we have entered an era, haven't we, Mark, where I think as patients, we need to be responsible. We can't just say, I've got a problem, the NHS is going to fix it for me. We need to be proactive, don't we, in looking after ourselves?
Yeah, of course, and it's about that partnership, isn't it? How we work and interact with our community, the population that we look after.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
It's that two-way relationship, really,
yeah.
And it's the way forward.
And how they will feel afterwards, you know, and to encourage that, to feel positive.
Feel valued, listened to as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And you mentioned about, I think you mentioned earlier about your service and referrals into your service. How would someone access?
How
is referred into the health? The
majority of people are referred to us from the hospital. So we have three hospitals that refer into our services. They're obviously Liverpool, which is the Liverpool Heart and Chest, which is a regional centre, and then the two general hospitals. But GPs can refer into our service. Any health professional. Because it is such a complex condition, heart failure.
Sounds terrifying.
It does.
I know.
And that's the debate. It's not a debate. I don't mean it's patients say, do you have to call it heart failure?
Right.
Is there something else? But over the years, it's like empowering the patient.
Yeah.
If they don't know about their condition, they don't know why they're taking tablets. So, unfortunately, we do have to call it.
Yeah.
Call it that, really.
Well, it's a serious problem, deserves a serious name, I suppose.
Yeah. But and they just we accept email referrals into our service.
Fabulous.
That's mainly from the hospitals and the health professionals. But if any patient obviously is out there and they are experiencing any like breathlessness or water retention, which are the main symptoms of heart failure, and they haven't had a diagnosis, hopefully touch wood, because there is other causes of them symptoms, that definitely go see your GP. Or if you have got a diagnosis of heart failure and you're not known to our service, unfortunately, we don't accept self-referrals because it is such a complex condition.
Of course.
You're just better off going for your GP.
Yeah.
But you can always ring us for advice, which is, the number is 0151.
Okay, we get the pen and paper ready. 0151,
495.
495.
5264.
5264.
Yeah.
0151 495 5264.
Yeah, we're a Monday to Friday service, 9 to 5 PM.
Okay, fabulous.
And if any of our listeners had any questions about the service, how could they get in contact? Is there an online resource they could use?
We're not that forward yet, unfortunately. They can always email us.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they can go through the Bridgewater.
Bridgewater website?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fabulous. So if you go onto the Bridgewater website and search for heart failure, you'll find good stuff on there.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Excellent stuff. Now, if you didn't have a paper, pen and paper to hand and you wanted to make a note of the phone number that Claire just gave us, don't worry. We will rehash the contact details for all of today's guests shortly before 4 p.m. And the podcast will be available. Normally it's available the following morning, but I'm actually going away for the weekend. So it'll be Tuesday morning when you'll be able to relive the glory of today's show. Claire, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much, Claire. You're fantastic.
Yeah,
and great to hear about your fantastic service. So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You did great, Claire. Now, to play you out, Claire, you can choose. You've got two spooky songs and you can choose from either.
Okay.
You can either have Screaming Jay Hawkins, I Put a Spell on You, which is amazing.
Okay.
Or you can have Rockwell, There's Someone Watching Me, which is kind of 80s pop vibe.
I'll go with the second one.
With Rockwell and Someone Watching Me. Okay, fabulous. That is Rockwell and Somebody's Watching Me. This is the One Halton Health Show on Halton Community Radio. I'm producer Matt, joined in the studio by Mark O'Farrell from North West Boroughs. You having fun, Mark?
Yes, quite enjoyable, really.
It is, it's easy, isn't it, once you get in the flow of it. Now, hopefully joining us live on the phone of this parish, a local legend of the voluntary and statutory sector, hopefully joining us is Chris Carlin. Are you there, Chris?
I can read you loud and clear, Matthew.
Excellent. You know, it was so quiet then, I thought, oh no.
I didn't even breathe, did I?
Have you found somewhere quiet to do this?
I've found somewhere exceptionally quiet, yeah.
Oh, okay. Describe, what can you see, Chris? Just describe the room for us. Tell
us. Oh, right, okay. Well, I'm in the inner recesses of Runcorn Shopping City,
Excellent. Of
the parts that, you know, other people don't usually go to.
Right.
So you know up where the youth zone is?
I know it quite well, yes.
If people don't know where the youth zone is, you should go up the stairs in the square of the shopping city and have a look at some point. Lots of stuff up there, including the art hub and a little dance studio and things like that.
Are you familiar with the shopping city, Mark?
Yeah, I've been over several times.
Several times. Okay, yeah, excellent.
No worries talking about
it. Yes. No, well, sorry, Chris, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Carry on.
So I'm just down one of the corridors up there in the youth zone.
Excellent. Hanging out with the kids, keeping it real.
Yeah, you know me, Matt. I'm, you know, down with the street, kind of urban in my approach. No, I'm getting old, aren't I? I like to think I'm a member of the community. I can still communicate with the young people. Let's leave it there.
Exactly. You speak local, as Paul Cook of Health Watch once famously said.
Yes.
Although I learned to rap at the shopping city, so I think that makes me pretty street.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely speak local. And you've taken me across the frog a couple of times, haven't you? And I've managed to order a pint, so I think you know. So
you've got a good GCSE in speaking Frogium, so it's easily
very
done.
Tricky Frogiumese.
It is Frogiumese. Yeah. It's like
found all your D's.
That's right. It's similar to, but with slight variances, just to deliberately confuse people. Right, I shall hand you over to our Mark, who's in charge of the show today.
Hello, Chris.
Hiya, Mark.
First of all, I didn't realise that you could rap, Matt. Is there a special Halloween rap that you could dish out for us today?
I can't rap well. I mean, I think that's the important thing. Chris and I entered a NHS talent show. Well, we did it 2 years in a row, it was the anniversary recently, and I didn't. Did it come up on your Facebook, Chris? Because it popped the video
it
of us.
Popped up on mine 4 years.
Oh, and I watched it back, and it was horrifying. I remember it being amazing, but watching it back, I was like, oh, God, this is terrible.
You know what? I think phones have come a long way the last 4 years. if we were filming it on an iPhone 10, I reckon we'd be perfectly as
Yes, that's right. It was the acoustics in the room.
Definitely
that was
the acoustics in the room. But it was good fun, wasn't it?
It was tremendous fun. My favourite bit, very quickly, was that But at the end of our rap, we broke into Rage Against the Machine, which isn't really rap, but kind of rock rap kind of thing. And our message was healing in the name of, rather than killing in the name of. But it got to the bit where the guitars go drum, drum, and I was just stood like a buffoon on the stage doing air guitar, not knowing what to do. And Chris leapt down onto the dance floor. And you started, how can you describe what you did, Chris? But it was incredible.
It was like part Vanilla Ice, part Ricky Gervais from The Office, wasn't it?
It was inspiring.
You know I mean? There was a bit of Running Man, high stepping going on.
Yes.
But then also a bit of Take That, not Take That, New Kids on the Block. Remember they used to do that side shuffle thing?
NKOTB.
Just any move I could think of in the heat of the moment.
I mean, when we were practicing, did it never occur to us there'd be like 40 seconds where we were just stood doing nothing?
No, I don't think it did. But it worked out well. People often say, I remember your dance at the end, so it must be like...
I'd rather, as long as they remember the dance and not the hideous...
not the vocal.
Hideous rapping and screaming from me into the microphone and ended that. But let's not relive those particular childhood
trauma. No, we should do that on our own side, actually.
We should, really, and not when not on the NHS's dollar.
It certainly sounds like if you're on TV, there'd be a clip playing right about now.
Maybe as a podcast extra, I'll add the full horror of our, was it 12-minute performance?
I think one of them was 8 and one was 12. It was 20 minutes of quality footage out there somewhere.
We should, when it gets to 10 years, we should record it here, Chris.
Like, 10 years? What are you talking about, Matt? I've been trying to get it back again this week.
All right,
fair enough. I haven't told you yet.
Okay, you've been to record
it
properly.
What can we do to raise morale in the NHS? So, like, let me and Matt rap.
Bad rapping. And have you ever met Des Chow from Holton CCG?
I haven't.
Well,
oh, I have.
You have met Des. Des joined us as well.
Something for the Christmas special?
well, maybe. Maybe Christmas rapping, who knows? Anyway... Wow. Enough self-indulgent nonsense, and over to you, Mark, with today's questions.
So, welcome again, Chris, to the One Halton Health Show. You've been our regular Well Halton correspondent over the past 6 or so months. So, Well Halton is a part of a region programme called Well North, with the project aiming to utilise local assets and people in order to make a positive impact on the social determinants of health. So, Well Halton does this through encouraging enterprise, community and partnership across a wide range of sectors. Some fantastic work, really. And as I think we've discussed today, we're currently at Runcorn Shopping Centre, or Shopping City, but you're at an event specifically capturing the spirit and ethos of Well Halton called The Science of the Circus. Is that correct?
That's right. That's Bob on, yeah.
So what can you tell us about this event, Chris?
Okay, so it's the latest in a series of community lectures called Talking Science, and those are put on by STFC, so the Science Technology Facilities Council, which sounds very posh, but they're actually based in our borough. So they're a science engagement body that's based at Darsby SciTech, which is part of Halton. So as part of Well Halton, we've been trying to unlock that asset. So as you said in your intro, Well Halton's all about unlocking assets, unlocking potential, getting partners to work together. So in this case, we're trying to get... Well, we have successfully partnered with the scientists at Darsby try and get them to come into some of our community venues and encourage the next generation of scientists.
Fantastic. And is there a big turnout today?
Yeah. So we've done it in two phases. So we've had what we call our marketplace of interesting things, and that happened from 1 till 2 in the main square of the shopping centre. And at its peak, there was definitely over 200 people.
Oh, fantastic.
So it was absolutely heaving. It was a bit chaotic, a bit scary for me as the organiser. But actually, everyone had a wonderful time, and... all kinds of great activities went on down there. So, in fact, I should plug a few of the people that helped today. So, Mako Create, I don't know if you're familiar with Mako Create.
I love Mako Create. They're absolutely Mako fantastic. Create, Ian and Sean, legend.
And Sean,
legends of the voluntary sector, yes.
That's it. Local guys form their own social enterprise.
Yep.
Working with young people on all interesting digital science things. So they've been doing green screen photography today. They've been making badges. What else? You've got a range of activities anyway, so all quite techy stuff. Oh, augmented reality colouring in. That was the other one.
Oh, wow. What's that, Chris?
You'd love this, man.
I'm glad you asked.
I know you'd love this. So, like, you colour in a picture of, say, a dragon.
Yeah.
You colour it in exactly as you want, you know what I mean? Pink with yellow polka dots if you want. Like Mr. Blobby. But anyway, colour it in any way you want. And then there's an app on iPads that are freely available there for people to use. And they put the iPad over their picture they've just done. and the creature they drew comes to life on the screen in the colours you drew it.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So if yours was pink and purple, then the one that appears is pink and purple with your colouring. And you can then control your dragon or whatever it is you drew.
That's what kind of magic is this?
Augmented reality, man.
Wow. Fabulous.
Learn something new every day.
You do,
fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that was one of the activities.
Did Mako have any of their drones out today, Chris? Well, I suppose with being indoor wouldn't necessarily
be... Yeah, it's a bit tricky because of, you know, the amount of people, it's a public space.
Oh,
and
good,
that kind of,
yeah.
But we have done their drone workshops before when we've had confined spaces to do it. Absolutely world-class stuff. It's amazing. I took my daughter, Olivia, to one. And actually, the coding that those young people learned... She went back to school and used for something else.
Really?
Proper programming to fly those drones. Nobody's getting a joystick. Just having a go with a joystick. You've got to learn to program it. You got like about 40 minutes of programming. And then you fly it at the end and see if you get through the course. And then good stuff. But anyway, we didn't do that once a day, but I like to plug Mako whenever I can.
Yeah.
Today's was all about science, but it was loosely themed around circus.
Okay.
And all the physics of the circus, the, you know, trapeze and juggling, all that, all involves gravity and all these things. So it's an excellent platform to start talking to children about science in a really friendly way. So that's kind of what we've been doing today. I should let you ask a question rather than just talking. You shouldn't know more.
No, it's absolutely fascinating.
I'm
more than happy for you to talk and tell me all the fascinating things that have gone on today.
We're here till 4 o'clock, Chris.
You should actually just keep going. Then. I'm all right.
Go home. It's okay, Chris. You're doing great.
Talk for England, you know. Give me a beat and I'll rap it for you. No, don't. So we had our market of interesting things with Mako Creator, I just mentioned.
Yeah.
But we also had Norton Priory, who I think are just the jewel in the crown of Holton. If you haven't been to Norton Priory and you live in Holton or the surrounding areas, what are you doing? Why haven't you been?
Yeah.
You've been silly for get down there. It's an amazing place.
The walled garden is the most beautiful place in Holton.
Absolutely, definitely. Definitely, without a shadow of a doubt.
And they have they have their own brewery there now, Chris.
They have a brewery, they make honey,
but they make real ale. I mean, I don't know, I don't want to prioritise one over the other.
Something for everyone in the family.
And they have quince. I still don't know what quince is, but once a year they come on HCR and talk about, they have like the best quince display.
Yeah, a quince is like a medieval apple. I don't know if a fruit can be from a certain time period, but they seem to be popular in the medieval times. we don't see them so much today.
Other fruits are available, I suppose.
There's lots of fruits today, mate. Yeah. You're very right. But they still grow these things at Norton Priory, one of the few sites in the country. So once a year in October, so you've all just missed it, I'm afraid, they have annual quince day, which
they
is an amazing event where there's quince jam, and they might even have figured out a way to ferment them by now, Matt, so you might want to come down.
I hope so. They've not texted me, but I'll
send
anyway,
a comment.
Anyway, I do a great plug for all the partners here, but I probably not talking. So Norton Priory, we've done Mako Create.
Yeah.
I also had a couple of performers who were absolutely brilliant. Melanie and Angelo from Magical Circus.
Okay.
So these guys come out and actually let young people have a go at some of these things. So a little bit of juggling, a little bit of stilt walking, a little bit of tightrope walking.
Fantastic.
We've had all that kind of crazy stuff going on right in the middle of the shopping centre, which was bedlam, but brilliant.
Tightrope walking sounds slightly health and safety problematic.
I don't work for you anymore, man. Fully insured by the NHS and SPFC. That, to be honest, the tightrope itself is about 3 inches from the ground.
I see.
So you can't hit yourself. But it's a first go, and you'd be surprised how many people get across it.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Good stuff going on.
Okay.
And so that was all downstairs. But Catalyst Museum were here too.
Excellent.
One of their volunteers wears an Earth suit, walks around like Planet Earth with little kids kicking them up the bum and everything. So that was great fun. So, yeah, just loads of brilliant stuff being going on. And then the second part of that, we're now right in the middle of, which is upstairs in the youth zone. We've got a guy called Dr. Ken and his Science of the Circus show.
Dr. Ken? So is he a sciencey doctor rather than a general practitioner?
Yeah, he's... I think he's got like a PhD in chemistry or something like that, but actually his show's more around physics, so he seems to be a bit general. But I've just left the show to talk to you guys.
Oh, that's very kind.
There's probably 100 people in there, and the front row is, you know, little kids, like 3 to, say, 7 years old, they're having a whale of a time.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy can barely do his show for kids joining in. It's amazing, isn't it? So, but they're getting all those messages about health and science and our environment.
Fabulous.
While all this is going
That's
on.
Brilliant.
About 6 months ago, Mark, back in, I think it was April, our Chris organised an event with colleagues from Darsbury, I think, at the stadium, and Greg Foote, who's been on Blue Peter, he was on talking about the oceans and the environment, and it was the best thing. I just loved it.
It was a good one, that, wasn't it?
Absolutely inspirational. And I'm afraid, because I'm not the sharpest tool in the box, I need stuff aimed at children for me to be able to follow it. And to have a man there pitching his audience a load of seven-year-olds, I was able to go, oh, that's how submarines work. It was just...
But you know, fine, Matt, the best presenters are kind of ageless in their audience participants, aren't they? Like, the guy who's in here today, Dr. Ken, he's making pensioners laugh whilst making three-year-olds dance with glee, you know what I mean? And Greg was like that, wasn't he?
Greg was absolutely wonderful. And that was like... And when I've watched Brian Cox on the telly, my kids, who are you know, like in 7 and 9, they follow it better than I do. I don't know.
Well, next time I'm talking to Brian, I'll tell him you're a fan.
good plug. Yeah, Brian was on the show a few months ago, Mark, on this show. But he's no Mark O'Farrell.
Well,
just mentioning Brian Cox, I mean, I think it says something for little old Holton, that our science project is something he's willing to endorse, and he doesn't endorse much, you know. He's, like, protective of his brand, but he's, like, really into what we're trying to do in Holton, and, of course, made that video for us, which, you know, he can get top dollar for doing 10 minutes' work, and he's done that for us for free.
Absolutely, because he knows talent when he sees it. He wants to be in one of our raps.
I think that's what was going on. He did say to me, he can still handle himself on a keyboard. I was like, Brian, will you leave it? You're not being part of the posse, you know? But anyway, sticking to science.
Well, maybe a guest appearance at the Christmas special. Who knows?
Yes. So we should ask a few, because we've waffled for a long time, Chris, and we're so grateful for your time on this.
Oh, no problem.
What is it about younger people and STEM, and how does that fit in with the work of Well Holton?
Yeah, so STEM, just so people understand what we're talking about, that stands for science, technology, English and maths. Was it engineering and maths?
We were guessing on engineering, but it could be. Yeah.
English is good too, though.
English is great. Yeah.
You can't read, are you?
No.
it is actually engineering. I don't know where we got English from. So it's all about those hands-on, sciencey, creative, manufacturing type processes, STEM. And what we need to make sure going forward as a country, regardless of what happens with Brexit and everything else, we need to make sure our young people are the best in the world at science and engineering. One, because it gives them a bright future. But two, if we can really embed this into our way of thinking as a country, we can really start to change things. And if we can not only encourage STEM activities and get the next generation of scientists, if we can do that in some of our more harder-hit communities, and, you know, I don't want to play down Holton too much, but we do have some areas of very high deprivation. So if we can take those young people who don't have a lot of hope at the moment, connect them up to a brilliant asset on their doorstep like Darsbury Labs, then we can start to make some pathways for these young people to start working there, to start thinking about careers in science.
Yeah,
it's all there for them. We just need to help them a little bit.
Absolutely. A gentle push in the right direction.
And it's about engagement.
We just connect things. That's what Well Holton's become about, really, now. Is how do we connect these assets in ways that are unique?
That's about engaging our youth as well, isn't it, Chris? Which it certainly sounds like you're doing a brilliant job with. 200 people midterm coming to listen to that. Sounds like a brilliant turnout, and it seems like you're well on the right track for that.
Absolutely, and you know, like I say, there's probably 200 around now. There's probably been more than that through the day, but nobody's had to spend a penny as well. So you can rock up here today with 6 kids if you want, and you know, it's not going to cost you a penny. So that's the other big
thing.
We want to make sure it's accessible to everyone.
Yes.
Finances shouldn't be a barrier to science.
Yeah. Never mind the kids, I think I might go down myself.
Yeah.
You're always welcome, man. Always welcome, mate.
Just based across the road, so maybe I will.
Yeah, not far away. He's busy till 4 though, Chris.
We're kind of finishing at 4. But maybe next time when you're not hosting the radio show, we'll get you involved if you want.
Well, speaking of which, then what's next for Well Holton? What have we got planned?
Do you know what? We probably need to just reconfigure and have a little think about what we're going to do next, because it's been a really big month for us, the last sort of month. So we've had a community conversation about knife crime. We've got a potential project that would be turning the shopping city car parks, a couple of the shopping city roof car parks, into a community roof garden. So I've got some negotiations with a funder tomorrow. I've got to manage expectations, but if this comes off, this could be one of the greatest community projects ever.
Okay.
I mean, imagine an allotment on the roof of the shopping city, an outdoor classroom, an outdoor cinema, beehives.
Chris, I love you very much, but the two sentences, I need to manage expectations, but this is going to be the greatest community project ever.
I think I said potentially.
Oh, okay. That worked for me.
But you know what? I can sing it a little bit.
Sing it from the rooftop gardens.
This project is definitely going ahead. We've already secured some funding. There will be a roof garden next year on the shopping city of some kind.
Excellent.
But I'm actually trying to get some additional funding. Make this thing one of the best gardens in the country, I would imagine.
Yeah.
That's what we're working on next.
A little random thing to say, Chris, but having spent nearly all of the 40-plus years that I've been on this earth, in and around this part of the world, it's brilliant to have so much positive stuff going on at the shopping city, which for most of my life has been a bit of a joke and somewhere where you went as a last resort.
But not just...
It's sad but true, that, isn't it? I mean, I wouldn't want to dumb down anything in Holton, but I think because it's so good now, I think we can reflect on that a little bit.
Yeah.
It's such a difference, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I say that with great love and affection, and someone who genuinely goes to the shoppo on the weekend. We often visit, TK Maxx and Wilko's and those kind of places. So, I feel like I can talk about my turf. And I've been, coming here since the early 80s. So it's just brilliant to have all these really positive things going on. And a rooftop garden is incredibly exciting and hopefully something we can cover and make a fuss off on future episodes of the One Holton Health Show.
Yeah, we can present from there in the summer, hopefully.
As long as it has internet.
Let's make a date now.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the funding runs out at the end of March, but hopefully that will inspire us to find some more. Excellent stuff.
So, Chris, I suppose if anyone listening to today's show would like to find out more about Well Holton, how can they do this? Do you have websites, social media presence?
Yeah, we don't actually have our own website, just because the projects themselves are quite intermittent when they go out to the public. So the best way to find out what's going on is to follow the CCG's website, so Holton CCG.
So Holton CCG website, okay.
Yeah, or as Matt well knows, probably the best thing is to follow my personal Twitter. And I want more followers, so I don't mind.
Good. Tell us your Twitter handle then, Christopher.
So it's @Chris_Carlin.
Oh, you dropped out at the end there. @Chris_Carlin.
72.
72.
The year of my birth, Matt.
Oh, there you are. Glorious stuff.
You wouldn't know it, though.
I think, and there's an official Well Holton Twitter account as well. Do you use that?
I hardly ever use that. I say these things on the air. I can't manage two Twitter accounts on one phone. I need two phones for that, wouldn't I?
there is,
and we do put stuff on there too. And actually, if you're interested in the wider project, Well North,
yeah,
in other areas like Skemmersdale and Sefton and things like that, you can always have a look at the Well North Enterprises website, because they've got a new website.
Okay, so and Google Well North Enterprises as well.
Yeah,
that is absolutely brilliant. Always a pleasure to chat to you, Christopher.
How you do, man?
Thank you. Oh, it's been brilliant for having you on the show today again, Chris. Thank you very much. And sounds like you're doing some absolutely innovating and enthralling work, really. So certainly for me, I've already followed you on Twitter before this, but I'll certainly be keeping a closer eye and see when your next gig is.
Yeah, I'll
Yeah,
musically
very
enough.
Comfortable there, Mark, in the old host's chair. So I hope we'll be listening to you again because you're quite good at it, aren't you?
Well, thankfully we're on radio and you can't see how much trembling I am behind the mic. So
I see a sterling job. Oh, fortunately, Chris, for the Christmas special on the 19th of December, we've got the Bridgewater staff choir in. So maybe we'll have to delay our rap for another occasion because those guys are really good.
It's actually my birthday, the 19th of December.
Is so it? Fabulous.
That choir, one should sing happy birthday to me.
I will take them off.
And two should kind of do my, I'll do Gangster's Paradise and they can do the choiry bit. Learn that by then. I already know all the words to Gangster's Paradise.
Do you really want me to ask?
Yes, please.
Okay. As a birthday treat, you would like to perform Gangster's Paradise?
Yeah, but I need them to do
it. When I walk, I can't do it, I don't know. Anyway, what's the opening line, Chris? Set me off.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's not much left. Because I've been banging and slashing for so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone.
Well, you're going to rewrite it, though, about Will Holton?
There's a challenge.
Keep a proper gangster one.
Okay, fair play. Let's speak to the choir first before we get too carried away, because they might be potentially horrified.
They might be, yeah.
Speaking of horrendous things, we've had an email from Carl Harris, one of our favourite listeners and most hirsute men in Holton. Carl says, sorry I missed the first hour of the show. I'm sure it was as good as usual. Thanks, Carl. He said, any chance of a song by Cher? Failing that, anything by Kitchens of Distinction /Toto, etc. Cheers, Carl. Carl's the only person I know who loves Kitchens of Distinction.
I probably struggle there, Matt. I only really do Coolio and... oh, did he mean you to play a record?
No, maybe, but we could do Toto together. Right, we're going to bang a record on. This is Screaming Jay Hawkins. And you'll love this record, Chris. And just so you can enjoy this on the phone for a while. When Screaming Jay Hawkins originally recorded this, it was just a straightforward blues ballad about a woman that had left him. And the producer wasn't happy with it. So he went out to the local shops, bought an absolute shedload of lager, got the band and just Screaming Jay Hawkins absolutely hammered, and then said, right, do it again and shout. And this is what they came up with.
I put a spell on you.
Toto. Possibly, Mark, the greatest song ever written, did you say?
Yeah, one off, definitely.
Excellent. I wasn't sure you were going to agree with me there. Absolutely. And that was a special request for Carl Harris, who is the chief exec over at Holton Carer Centre, which is a brilliant organisation. I don't say that just because they have a part-time job there, but they are. They're absolutely amazing, providing support for... I think it's over 5,000 carers that they've worked with over the past 12 months. So, obviously, a brilliant organisation. Now, I am delighted to say... Oh, hang on. Before we introduce our newest guests, we do have some information about Warrington and Holton Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust to... Hang on. I'm on the wrong page.
To come at half three.
Because this is... This is not. This is North West Boroughs Healthcare NHS Foundation Trust. And you spotted my deliberate mistake and brilliantly corrected me, Mark, so well done.
Well, I've got a full hour of experience. So,
You're in charge now. So tell us a little bit about this organisation, please.
Yeah, so this organisation, obviously my own organisation, and the two ladies about to come on the show. North West Boroughs Healthcare NHS Foundation Trust delivers a range of mental health and physical health services across a population of more than 3.5 million people to support our local communities to live life well, obviously including Holton. These include community-based physical health services as well as mental health and learning disability services. We deliver community and inpatient mental health services across Holton, Knowsley, St Helens, Warrington, Wigan, Bolton, Manchester, Sefton, and we provide physical health services for children and adults in Halton, Knowsley, Sefton and St Helens also. We also provide a range of specialist services across the North West, including specialist inpatient services and services for people with vulnerabilities within the criminal justice system across Greater Manchester. We are committed to integrating mental health and physical health services to deliver whole person care, something that's so important nowadays, which supports our service users with all aspects of their health and well-being. And we employ almost 4,000 staff across a range of professions and are committed to providing high quality, safe and efficient patient care. So that's just a bit about North West Boroughs.
Yeah, fabulous.
So now I'd just like to welcome Faye Andrews and Katie Madden from my own Bridge Ward. So welcome to the One Halton Health Show, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
Not at all. So you're the management team, or 50% of the management team, of Bridge Ward, the home of adult inpatient male mental health services within Halton. So how long have you both worked within the trust, within North West Boroughs?
I've worked there for coming up to 3 years now on Bridge Ward. Before that, I was a student on the ward and within the trust since about 2014.
And I've been with the trust since 2010, working as a nursing assistant and then qualifying as a mental health nurse.
Fantastic. So working your way up through the organisation?
Yep.
Yeah.
Just for my benefit, is it Katie and Faye?
Yeah. It is, yeah.
Hooray! I had a 50% chance of getting that right, so
which makes no sense for our listeners at home.
For those of you listening on the radio, Katie is on my left and Faye's in the middle. Mark is on the right flank.
Yes. So I suppose, first of all, would you be able to tell us a bit about what Bridge Ward is like?
Yeah, we like to think Bridge Ward's a friendly, welcoming, relaxed atmosphere. It is a 17-bedded unit.
Okay.
Consisting of, like, individual bedrooms, large social area, quieter TV lounges, activity room, games room, and recently the ward did some fundraising to open a chill-out sensory room.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Tell us about the chill-out sensory room. That sounds incredible.
Well, the patients can access it whenever they want, uh-huh, under staff supervision, and we've had really positive feedback, really.
Yeah.
Place where they can come when they're quite agitated, maybe just wanting some actual quiet time away from the business of the ward.
Yeah.
And it has had some really positive feedback.
Yeah, staff have also used it as well.
Right.
The breaks.
Okay.
We've had team meetings in there as well. It's been really good, hasn't it?
So what makes the room relaxing? Is it the way it's designed? Is there basement jacks playing on a loop? So what's it like?
No, well, our activity worker, Laura, she did some local fundraising.
Uh-huh.
So we got various items, really. So we got some like soft lighting.
Okay.
So we've got a blackout blind fitted, so it's in darkness. So
right.
The lighting in there is quite subdued, isn't it?
Mood lighting.
Yeah, mood lighting. Yeah. We've got a projector that projects various like
sea life. Yeah. Sea life on at the moment.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Onto the wall. There's an iPad in there, so that supports like mindfulness sessions that the staff lead on, really, but it's
okay
for the patients. And the iPads can also access, you know, so relaxing music. So it's been a really good decision.
Amazing. Sounds fantastic.
I'm dead mindful. I'm saying all the time.
Don't worry. We'll edit that out when we go live.
Fabulous.
Just edit with a beep, I think, is probably a good way to go.
Yeah, I thought we
were
live.
We are live. That's a terrible joke from me.
Yeah, so right now I suppose it would be a good time to shout out to everyone listening to the ward that you work on, Katie.
Yeah, Laura did say she was going to tune us in, so hi to everybody. And I know there was one patient that wanted me to shout him out but not say his name. Okay. So hi to you.
To you.
One of our first guests today, Claire, one of the questions Matt asked her was, can you give a shout out to all the staff within your team? But there was 5 staff within that team, so I know there's a bit more than 5 within your team. So
yeah,
I suppose,
yes.
How many staff do you work with you guys on Bridge Ward?
At the moment, it's roughly about 30.
30. Do a shout out to the ones you like. No, I'm joking, obviously.
Them all!
Don't be silly.
Yeah, so we manage about 30. That's
right.
Right from
nurses,
right down, nursing staff to housekeepers, domestic. So, yeah, it's quite a varied team.
Are you at the Brooker Centre?
Yeah, we are.
So it's just a stone's throw away from us here.
Yes.
To the side of it's all been about the shopping city today.
It has.
Keep banging
not too
on
far
about
away
it
from there.
No, fabulous stuff.
It's probably taken half an hour for you guys to get here, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not too bad.
Not too bad, yeah. We found it quite easy, yeah.
Excellent.
It's only saying that because I got lost on the way.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, so. But you're here.
My incompetent directions. I apologise. When you get back to the work and you go to the chill out room, You'll be able to reread the directions and think, yeah, they weren't that bad. That's all all right.
I know
all
what I was talking about. Yeah. So what are your team like then? Are they a fun team to manage?
Yeah, we are very close to the team. Obviously, sometimes it can be quite challenging in the environment that we work in. It can be very changeable and quite fast-paced, but we do all kinds of bounce off each other's strengths, and when it comes down to it, when it matters most, we are a really good team.
Right, OK, I'm going to bang a record on. Now, this record is Bobby Pickett and the Monster Mash. I understand this is one of your colleagues requested
this.
Yeah,
Michelle asked for this, so she is listening. There you
Michelle?
Go.
Yeah, okay. Michelle. Our assistant prac on the ward.
Your assistant what, sorry?
Practitioner.
Practitioner, OK, excellent. So she's a fan of 50s rock and roll?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, OK, vintage. Right, let's all enjoy a bit of the legendary Bobby Pickett and Monster Mash. That is, of course, the unmistakable genius of Bobby Pickett and Monster Mash. Katie, I think we've had some correspondence on the topic of Monster Mash.
Yeah, Michelle just wanted to say thank you for that, telling the world that she's a fan of 50s rock and roll.
She's not actually Michelle. That old, though, guys.
Is she? Well, no, I love rock and roll. I love Elvis and Bill Haley and all that stuff, and I'm only 41, which isn't that old in the grand scheme of things.
She's going to love you for saying that old. Not that old. She's old, but she's not that old.
She is my work mom.
So is she everyone's work mum or just yours, Katie?
Yeah, she's no. Even I think even the patients at times, she's known for her buttered toast.
Right.
Most definitely, yeah.
An important skill in keeping people well is providing them with toast. Right, Mark, back to you.
Fantastic. So one of the things we were talking about there during the break was you guys have been recently nominated or shortlisted for a Trust Award for North West Boroughs Healthcare.
Congratulations.
So. Yes, we have indeed, yeah. Something we're really proud of.
Yeah.
Just while we're on that as well, our staff member, Laura.
Laura, yeah.
Has also been nominated for the Trust Awards. I just want to give her a little props for that.
So which award have you guys been nominated for? Is it your team or the ward itself? Or?
Yeah, the team. It's for the Positive and Culture Star, isn't it?
No, it's the Star Team.
Oh, Star
Darling.
Team. Oh, same thing.
So it's the out of all the teams across all the Trust, we've been shortlisted down to three.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's an achievement in itself to get shortlisted. It's something that we're really proud of.
That's what they say in the Oscars. You know, just being nominated
We are practising our gracious losing face just in case. Yeah.
We're going to take some cake as well to throw the judges just in case.
I think that sounds like a solid tactic. When do you find out if you've won? I mean, I say if.
The awards is in at the end of November.
28th.
Yeah, the 28th.
We were going to come on again and for the next show, but unfortunately you guys will be busy at the Trust Awards.
Yeah,
right.
So
exciting.
Yeah. It is, but I suppose it's part of a journey reflection on the journey you guys have been on as a ward. So I suppose moving on from that then, do you want to talk about what you guys do on the ward? What's when you talk about adult mental health inpatient services, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Who is it aimed at? How do you support them on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so Bridge Ward is the male ward, so we support gents in Holton from the age of 18 and over to death, basically. So we have varied patients on the ward in terms of age. We have varied presentations. We, as a service, we work as part of a multidisciplinary team, so that can consist of nurses, doctors, pharmacists, OTs, psychologists, put my teeth back in. And with that, we offer a varied amount of input, really, don't we? So it's like one-to-ones with the nursing team or the psychologist. We have care reviews quite regularly for the patients.
Okay.
We've recently, which is part of the nomination for the Trust Awards, is that we've developed quite a robust, actually, therapy programme, so that it consists of group work and individual work, but the groups as well have also been joint work with the female ward, so they've been really successful. We've had some really positive feedback in terms of that.
Yeah.
So our job mainly is to get people back on their feet as quickly as possible so that they can be discharged into the community and supported by our colleagues in the community.
Fabulous. Mm.
So in terms of when someone would access your service, when what stage in their illness or their would they access your service?
Well, we're a secondary mental health service, so we get our admission referrals mainly from community teams, hospital, A&E liaison, yep. Other kinds of community type services where they feel that community input is no longer necessary or appropriate or the right support for them. So if they need a more intense approach, they will come in to ourselves.
And I'm guessing you would try and keep, I suppose the ideal I'm guessing would be to have people in hospital for as little time as possible.
Yeah, the minute they walk through the door, we are discharge planning as soon as we can to get them the right support and get them back out again.
And why is that?
Well, because everyone, home is the...
As people...
Home is where the heart is, Mark.
It is.
And the research and everything suggests that people do get better faster in an environment where it's closer to them, really.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so a part of what you guys do on a day-to-day basis be about skilling up people to have those skills so when they go home...
Yeah, it's kind of, I always like to say, and what I do say to patients, it's like building them a little imaginary toolbox so that when they're at home and they come across these crises, they can pull out whatever we've taught them and get through it without, you know, trying to do it as best as they can.
To avoid meeting us again, really, so that they
in the nicest possible
way. Yeah, so that they don't have to come into hospital, because obviously being away from your home, being away from your family can be quite a stressful time for individuals, so it's basically just trying to keep support them in the best way possible, really.
Of course, and I think as evidence would show that in terms of prognosis, people engaging in treatment within their own homes would be the best way forward.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And do you work in partnership with many external other partners or agencies or other organisations?
Yeah, as a ward, we work with obviously a multitude of local services. Recently, we've developed a substance misuse pathway on the ward, which is to support our gents with substance misuse problems. A big, obviously, process of that is strengthening the links with the community drug service. We also have the local council of being short start events, which our clients have gone to with staff. We have the local chaplain comes and does communion services every Friday. And obviously links with the local wellbeing enterprise service who recently just give us a timetable of events they do that the patients are welcome to go as an inpatient or on discharge in the community.
Tremendous.
Fantastic. And some of the types of activities then that you have on the ward, I understand you've got, is it this weekend you've got a big event coming up?
Oh yes. We have quite a robust activity programme that the patients lead on. So given in the spirit of what today is, we were having a Halloween party on Sunday. So the patients and staff have been decorating the ward, making costumes, and are looking forward to Sundays. But me and myself and Katie are both attending in costume.
Fantastic. Are you able to reveal the costume that you're coming in as, or is it top secret?
Too good to share.
Absolutely not. No, it's a surprise.
Will there be photos online?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yes, we do like a Twitter post.
Brilliant. It sounds like it must be a really inspiring place to work.
Mm. Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it's a privileged place to work, actually.
It is, yeah.
When you think of what we do, we are quite privileged in that people do let us into their lives, really.
Yeah.
And allow us to do that.
And a chance for you to have a real impact on people at a time when they need it the most.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And do you both find it very rewarding then?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's what keeps us coming back, really, I suppose, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. And how can people, how can local people find out about the service, find out about more about the ward or what goes on in the ward?
The Trust website at North West Boroughs, is it www.nwbh? .nhs.uk, something like that. Google us.
Hang on one second. NWBH.
.nhs.uk.
.nhs.
If you Google us, we'll definitely come up.
Yes.
That has got a kind of wide range of all the services accessible for Halton service.
Because there are quite a wide range of services within the boroughs for Halton, and also further afield within the Trust, and some I think work over different boroughs, not just Halton. Yeah. So.
But the best staff work in Halton.
Obviously.
I think,
you do.
I think we've agreed
we've
upon that.
We've established that,
That was pretty good. It's been so nice meeting you both.
I don't know.
And I'm So I just wish you the best of luck for your award tonight at the end of November.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Are you going to come on the Christmas show and let us know if you win?
Oh,
yeah.
Now that was seasoned professional.
Yeah. Matt's doing a rap. He's looking for people.
I don't think we should worry too much about that. that might be something we maybe next Christmas.
Maybe
no one needs to hear that. Yeah, I don't want to be responsible for ruining people's Christmas. Christmas is really important. Okay, so you guys, to play you out, you have picked one of the all-time great kind of Halloweeny tracks, Michael Jackson, Thriller. Whose choice was this?
Both. It was a collective,
a collective. Both. We just thought, what a classic.
Fair enough. Katie, Faye, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Really messed me up that song when I was little. That video was genuinely terrifying. Bonus point, Mark, do you know who was that doing the voiceover there at the end of the track? Which horror legend it was?
I've forgotten. I do know, but I've forgotten.
And I'm going to open this up to the table. Gareth, any ideas?
It wasn't Christopher Lee, was it?
Oh, close. I'm going to give you half a point for that. Fiona, any guesses?
It's a wild guess of Michael Jackson.
It was Vincent Price. There you go, horror legend. There we go. If you have any thoughts about horror films, you'd like to share them with the population, why not send us an email? studio@hcr923fm.com is the email address. Although, in this half hour, we are talking about Warrington and Holton Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust. Mark, you have some introductory information to read out for us.
I certainly do. So before we welcome Fiona and Gareth, just to read out, as Matt said, something about Warrington and Holton Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust. So the Trust comprises of three acute care hospitals across two sites in the boroughs of Warrington and Holton, making us part of the Mid-Mersey health economy. Warrington Hospital is the home of all the emergency and complex surgical care, their hot site, whilst Holton General Hospital in Runcorn is a centre of excellence for planned routine surgery. The Cheshire and Merseyside Treatment Centre is home to the orthopaedic surgery services based on the Holton General Hospital site, not too far away from here. Mm. Although each hospital focuses on particular aspects of care, they deliver outpatient clinics for all specialities and diagnostic services at both Warrington and Holton sites, so patients can access their appointments closer to home wherever possible. They also provide some outpatient services in the local community as well. Warrington Hospital focuses on emergency and specialist care and has all the backup services required to treat patients with a wide range of complex medical and surgical conditions and provides a full range of expert inpatient and outpatient services. Warrington Hospital is also home to the A&E department, or accident and emergency, and the maternity services as well as specialist critical care, cardiac and surgical units. The Cheshire and Merseyside Treatment Centre is home for the orthopaedic surgery and treatment services located on the Holton Hospital campus. Here they perform a wide range of surgeries, including hand, foot and joint replacements. They treat complex sports injuries, provide other bone and joint care services too. The centre, should I say, was purpose-built for orthopaedic surgery and is an extremely popular choice in the region for surgery with excellent patient feedback. And finally, a range of planned care for medical and surgical conditions is provided at Holton Hospital, delivering both inpatient and outpatient services. Without the pressured environment of its emergency care sister, Holton is a warm, friendly and welcoming environment for expert surgical care. The hospital is also home to the extremely successful Runcorn Urgent Care Centre that provides a range of minor emergency care services for local people until 8 o'clock each evening. They also provide some chemotherapy services on site at the Cantree Chemotherapy Centre, and the site is home to the Delamere Macmillan Unit.
Bravo! You need to get for a lie down after all that.
It's fabulous.
So, I always wanted to join in when we're talking about those, because I've had two football injuries treated at the Urgent Care Centre in Runcorn. Fabulous. fabulous. And I'm a regular villager, visitor to the, is it ophthalmology department? My, I've got dodgy eyes.
Ophthalmology.
Yeah. Ophthalmology. Yeah. Yes, one of my favourite car parks in the world, Warrington Hospital. More power, more power a tea. Beautifully read though, Mark. That was tremendous stuff. So, right, welcome to the show, Fiona and Gareth. I'll hand you over to our head of questioning today. Mr. Mark O'Farrell.
Welcome, guys.
Hi.
So you both work for Warrington and Halton Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust, is that right?
Yes, yes.
Oh, fantastic. So, Gareth, you're a consultant orthopaedic surgeon, an area which I have some experience in myself, not the surgery, but the recipient. Yeah. So I've had two operations on my knee.
Oh, there's
ACL
a clear
reconstruction and two meniscus repairs.
Have we met before then?
No, no, no. Not in Halton. My knee's still a bit dodgy, so definitely not in Halton.
It would have been world class if Gareth had.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be playing for, well, I can't name a football team for fear of preference, but...
Oh, no, go on.
I don't support anyone in the local area.
Fair enough.
Ipswich Town is my team's a very strange one there.
Tractor boy.
Excellent.
Tractor boy, yeah. So I won't offend anyone.
No.
Luckily for me. So for the uninitiated listening to today's show, what does orthopaedics refer to?
So orthopaedics, really we look after and help people with bone and joint problems.
Okay.
And that can range from sports injuries, like you mentioned, to people with severe arthritis, painful, stiff joints. And generally we sort of help get them mobile again, get them active and get them living without pain. And the orthopaedic surgeon, we don't just do surgery, we'll offer treatments that don't involve surgery, injections, physiotherapy.
Right.
All these different ways that we can treat bone and joint problems.
And where are you based then, Gareth?
So I'm based at the Cheshire and Merseyside Treatment Centre, and as you've just told us, it's based on the Halton Hospital site.
Yep.
And that's a purpose-built unit, really, for orthopaedic surgery. It was built probably over 15 years ago, I think. Initially run by the independent sector, and then thankfully taken over by Warrington and Halton Hospitals to provide the service to the local population. It's a fantastic unit, really, and a fantastic building. There's lots of space. Parking is actually very good on the site. Never have any problems parking. The clinics are spacious. We have all the facilities for investigating the different conditions, so X-ray, CT scanners, an MRI scanner. In fact, the MRI scanner there is one of the most powerful MRI scanners in the region, in the Northwest region.
I've been in that.
Have you?
I've had a scan.
How was that? Claim to fame.
It was great, actually, because when I went to that specific MRI scanner, I was allowed to wear this brilliant hat device that enabled me to lie flat on my back but see past my feet with a series of mirrors.
Yeah.
And that was tremendously reassuring.
Yeah.
And they then played what sounded like really intense hard techno. Oops, sorry, my watch has just gone to life. But so I lay on my back and then it was great. But I greatly appreciated the experience and everyone treated me brilliantly. So no complaints.
So it can be worrying for some people, but I say most people tolerate the MRI scanner very well and the staff there are really very helpful and get most people through it.
Yeah.
So we have all the imaging services on site. And upstairs we have a ward for inpatients, a 44-bedded ward. Mm. And we also have a day surgery unit on the top floor as well. So patients can come in for their surgery and go home the same day. We'll be able to cater for them. And then there's four purpose-built operating theatres, which have ultra-clean air filters to make sure the air is very sterile.
Wow.
To reduce the risk of infection. And in fact, our infection rate is very, very low, much lower than the average. Probably one of the lowest in the Northwest, certainly.
Fabulous.
Fantastic.
You must be incredibly brave to do surgery.
I don't know about brave. It's it takes a certain personality type, I imagine, to perform surgery.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of training, so it's not something you learn how to do it on day one. So you get years and years of training. You become a doctor first, then you're looking after the patients on the wards and the clinics, and then you learn your skill as a surgeon, a bit like an apprenticeship, I suppose.
Yes.
So you learn the skills and you get mentored by great people in the past that I've worked with over the years. They pass on their skills and hopefully we continue to pass on our skills to the current crop of trainees that come through and work with us. But yeah,
brilliant.
It's it has its stresses, but it's it has lots of rewards.
Yes.
Good. Absolutely. And what does the day in the life of a consultant orthopaedic surgeon look like then?
Well, I have to be careful here because my Fiona, my manager, is sat next to me, so up at 6 a.m. And no, so yeah, average day, let's take today for example, I'll come in, so we either have work in the clinic in the outpatients where we'll see patients who come in with their problems. We will have a chat with the patients about their symptoms, about how their problems are affecting them. We'll talk about the different treatments, maybe get x-ray scans, review the results of the scans with the patients, then come up with a treatment plan. So average, we'll see maybe 10 to 20 patients in an elective or a planned clinic.
Right.
This afternoon, I'm usually in the fracture clinic over at Warrington, and that would involve looking after the people with broken bones that present, right, you know, via the emergency departments, and just manage their recovery and make sure, you know, that everything's done right there. Tomorrow, I have a theatre list all day, so I'll come in probably about 7:30, see the patients on the ward beforehand, make sure everyone is ready to go, and then we have a team briefing meeting before we start the list, where we talk the whole team, the nursing staff from theatres, the anaesthetic team who will help anaesthetise the patients.
Yeah.
We all chat, go through the plan for the day, highlight any special equipment we may require, or if any patients need particular monitoring or different things doing.
Yeah.
We make sure we know what's going on at the beginning before we start doing the operations, and then we just work our way through our operations.
Can I ask a question wearing my village idiot hat? Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry, Fiona, we've not got to you yet, so we've been terribly rude.
Okay.
We ask you to come all the way here and then we ignore you. We'll get excited about chatting to Gareth. Are you allowed? Do you have like the radio on, or is it silence for concentration while you're?
So some surgeons will prefer to have some music in the background.
Yeah.
Others don't. Yeah. I'm easygoing. Usually in my theatre, I don't get much choice as to which radio station's on. It depends.
Right.
You know, who's got to the radio first.
Okay. I've just got to ask: is that your choice, or who decides what songs will play?
There should be a pecking order.
Yeah. I think that comes back to the personalities again, as to who. Chooses, but now that I know your frequency that you broadcast on, then maybe I have to retune the radios in our theatres.
Well, there's a lot of very distracting content here on Holt Community Radio. But my other slightly idiotic question is: do you ever watch representations of surgery on television and just think this is hilariously unrealistic?
Yeah, most of the time,
yeah.
I'm perfectly honest. Yeah, Holby City was the great one because they always seem to operate in the dark. I don't know.
just for a sense of drama.
Yeah.
And also operate on everything.
Well, yeah, that's true.
And
yeah.
That's so far from reality. Because obviously every consultant sub-specialises.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah. So the one surgeon that works in Holby City will operate on the heart, the mm-hmm. legs.
He's a good team player.
Talented
guy.
He could save the NHS millions, just a few more people prepared to put that kind of shift in. So thank you for tolerating my strange questions. Back to you, Mark.
No, not at all. So Fiona, you're the manager, and certainly sounds like you're Gareth's manager. So you're the manager of the clinical business unit. What does your work involve?
So I'm the clinical business unit manager for MSK. So within Warrington and Holton, there are 8 CBUs, so 8 clinical business units. So within the MSK CBU, I'm responsible for trauma and orthopaedics, rheumatology, surgical appliances, all of the therapists within Warrington and Holton. And that's it, actually.
That's quite a big remit.
It is a big remit. So within the CBU for MSK, there's around 460 members of staff that work within our CBU, all obviously delivering all sorts of different, you know, patient care, from therapists to rheumatologists to the trauma and orthopaedics. We all work very, very well together. The therapists obviously have a cross-section of the entire organisation. They work incredibly hard as well and support the surgeons and, you know, other specialties. So some working in HDU and ITU with patients, and then some actually, you know, doing the post-op recovery for some of the trauma and orthopaedic consultants as well. So a really interesting job, a busy job.
Fantastic. And just to clarify, MSK is musculoskeletal, is that right?
It is, yes. Oh, yeah. Brilliant. We're very good at acronyms in the NHS, so
true.
I do apologise.
It's true.
Does that mean bad backs, or is it much more than that?
Much more.
Much more than that, yeah.
Yeah, much more. Mm. I mean, lower back pain is a common presentation, but it's every joint, really.
Every joint,
from the neck down, I'd say, that we deal with in MSK, yeah.
And again, some of the guests we've had on earlier, they've given a shout out to the people they work with in their team, but it certainly sounds like you've got quite a wide range of people within your team.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone in particular that you'd like to say hello to that's listening into you today?
Well, I think all of the MSK team, you know, they all are a part of what we try to do and deliver every day, from the operational pressures to moving services forward to making sure that the patients are receiving the right care in the right place every time. Mm. You know, there are, as Gareth said, there are some more challenging days than others, but I think what MSK are very good at doing is pulling together and trying to come up with a solution and then actually working through that problem and then actually putting improvements in place, which we have to try and navigate round and support as a management team. But yeah, the team are absolutely fabulous over at Warrington and Halton.
I think we're quite lucky in Halton with the MSK service. And I certainly know from talking to some of our local GPs that it's a real relief for them to be able to refer patients directly into the MSK service. It helps them with the pressures around people getting appointments and those kind of things.
So absolutely.
Great to have all that on our doorstep.
And certainly the sign of a good service is, because everywhere comes up against challenges nowadays, doesn't it? Yeah. So it's how we respond to them and being quite proactive and being able to tackle those challenges and put solutions in place to, it certainly seems like you're doing.
Yeah, yes. The action list of service improvements is extensive in MSK. So we do have to prioritise what we want to move forward with, but what I would say is on a daily basis I've got many staff coming to me with lots of service improvement ideas, all of them very doable.
Fantastic.
Which is fantastic. And I think what is really special about Warrington and Halton is a lot of the people that work in that hospital care so much, because it's actually their local hospital as well. So you will hear lots of staff say, this is where my mum was treated, my dad was treated.
Yeah.
You know, so I think then there is that extra level of input and people going above and beyond because it is their local hospital.
And kudos to you for having the culture where people feel comfortable that they can put their ideas forward and know that they'll be received and considered.
I think as a management team we do try to be very visible. We're not the kind of the management team sat behind an office. Occasionally it would be nice to have some desk time to actually work through some of the to-do lists, but no, we're very, very out on the ground, you know, trying to get round and get to know over 400 members of staff is challenging in itself, but we have lots of different ways of communicating at Warrington and Halton, from kind of the executives from through team brief. You know, there's always drop-in sessions that are put on via HR and the executive team. And then locally within our unit, we are constantly doing drop-in sessions to all of the kind of patient-facing areas, which, you know, as a management team, I think we absolutely have to be on the ground and experiencing and seeing, you know, what the patients are experiencing.
And where are you based? Are you based at the Halton, the Cheshire and Merseyside Treatment Centre as well?
I am. So I have an office over at Warrington and over at the CMTC, as we call it, so the Cheshire and Merseyside Treatment Centre. So I do try to split myself across both sites, predominantly because of operational pressures. You do find yourself more at Warrington. But yes, I do enjoy my days over at the Treatment Centre, just because the environment, the estate is very, very different and very special compared to what a lot of NHS hospitals can offer and have the access to. So I think we all feel very, very lucky to have, you know, the treatment centre as part of Warrington and Halton. We describe it as the jewel in the crown of Warrington and Halton. So we absolutely want to, you know, welcome in as many patients as possible. And as Gareth said, the treatment that the patients receive and the outcomes are top, you know, top of the charts really for the Northwest and kind of nationally in terms of infection rates, readmission rates. You know, absolutely, you know, stand out. You know, they are outstanding.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I sort of echo what you said about having access, the management team at all levels in the trust. You really get that sense as a clinician that there is an open door, that, you know, you can speak to someone, you can bring your ideas to them and they'll listen and they'll try their best to help you implement those ideas. Yeah. So I think that's important for the organisation going forward, definitely.
Wonderful. It's funny, you know, very quickly, but we've had so many projects on today that we could cover with a very large blanket. You know, we had Chris talking about his rooftop garden, Healthy Halton at the Shopping City. We had the ladies from the Brooker Centre, and now we are talking about the Cheshire and Merseyside Treatment Centres. All these fantastic resources on our doorstep.
So it's brilliant to hear all the great work that's going on that people aren't necessarily aware of. It's great somewhere to broadcast that.
Absolutely. And you know, we're very passionate about making sure that the local population and further afield, you know, to Chester into, you know, the northwest, that they absolutely know about the treatment that they can receive, you know, within the NHS at the Halton site with CMTC. So we welcome any patient to come and visit our fantastic team of, you know, 13 trauma and orthopaedic consultants, but the teams are much wider than that in terms of the therapists, in terms of the joint schools that we offer. That holistic care absolutely is available over at CMTC.
Just had an email through from Jane who says, I used the MSK service last year. I was triaged over the phone, then sent to the appropriate clinic. Great service. I was seen quickly too. Thanks, Jane.
Fantastic.
There you go.
It was a pleasure to treat you, Jane.
Brilliant, Jane. You should... that's great. It's great to hear good feedback, isn't it? And to let people know when things go really well. Time is running away from us, Mark. How are we doing there on your checklist of questions?
Yeah, we're doing absolutely fine, Mark.
We're doing fine, okay. Let us have a think.
Tell me when I need to finish.
Well, yeah, 2 minutes. Is that possible?
Yeah.
We get to the end in 2 minutes and we'll march off.
So I suppose in terms of access to your service, obviously it's not going to be a self-referral. Who would people tend to be referred into your service then?
So we mentioned one, but through the MSK primary care service. So at the Halton site, the physiotherapists usually that run the MSK primary care can refer directly into us. Patients could go to their GP, and regardless of where they live, actually, they can choose. It used to be called choose and book. I think it's now called NHS e-referral. So they can choose to go to whichever hospital they want to for their orthopaedic treatment. So they could ask their GP to help them with that. They could log on to the NHS e-referral website to get more information. And, you know, failing that, if they still need help, they could always bring the CMTC and we can give them advice as to how best to go about it. But the main access is via the MSK services, via their GP, and actively asking you, can I be referred to the treatment centre?
Fantastic. And last question for me, I suppose, if any of our listeners today have any questions about the service, how are they able to get in touch or find out more information about the service?
Do you know the number for the MSK service? We could Google it, I suppose.
Yeah, so the hospital website, you probably have given out before, is it whh.nhs, I think?
.nhs.net.
Is it .net?
.net. whh.nhs.net. Perfect stuff. Right, we're going to have a tiny bit of Ray Parker Jr. and Ghostbusters, which will be the last of our Halloween-themed songs for today.
Excellent.
And then we come back, we'll be rehashing the contact details for all of today's guests. Gareth and Fiona, thank you so much for joining us on today's One Halton Health Show. The Ewok Choir have shuffled into Studio 2, which means that only one thing. It's time to rehash the contact details for all of today's guests on the One Halton Health Show. First up, we had Claire Coppin. She was from Bridgewater, and you can call her service the Heart Failure Nurse Team Service. I think we agreed was the name of it. 0151 495 5264. Then we had Chris Carlin on talking about Well Halton. You can find out information about them on the Halton CCG website or by following Chris on Twitter, which is at Chris_Carlin72. Also, we had Katie and Faye on from Northwest Boroughs, and you can find out all about their brilliant team on the website nwbh.nhs.uk. And lastly, we had on Fiona and Gareth, who were talking about the services that they're able to offer through the Cheshire and Merseyside Treatment Centre. You can get referred to them through the MSK service or via your GP with NHS e-referrals, or for more details, look at whh.nhs.net. Whoa, Mark, we've made it.
We have.
and a very enjoyable afternoon. We had some fantastic guests on, didn't we?
We did indeed. Did you enjoy it?
I did, yeah. It was brilliant.
You did a magnificent job,
sir. Your support has been fantastic.
You say the kindest things. So, to all of our guests, thank you so much for coming in. To you that's listened at home, that's very kind of you. We'll be back on the last Thursday of the month, which I think is the 28th of November.
It is the 28th of November, yeah.
And it'll be the Christmas special on the 19th of December, which is incredibly exciting. But the Ewoks have gone now, so it's time for Mark and I to head home as well. Thank you, Mark. Keep it tuned to HCR. Wes is on next.
Thank you for having me.
Online at hcr923fm.com. On your mobile and on 92.3 FM. This is Halton Community Radio.